to the inquisitorial representative regarding the journal of Keeper Crippius. My lord, I attach with you the only extant copy I have of the first page of the journal of Keeper Crippius, who apparently belonged to a generational order of librarians upon Terra itself. Unfortunately, all other records have been expunged of he and the order he belonged to, as well as their activities and findings. I attach to you as more of a matter of interest. I am continuing to seek out full copies of this journal, as it contains some very interesting hints and information that I myself was not aware of, and I send to you as a matter of courtesy. This being the journal of Keeper Crippius, dated in the year of our Emperor, 993 M41. For 70 long years I have laboured as Master Phineas laboured before me, and Master Shadiel before him, through 836 generations of keepers of the Library Sanctus of Terra. It has been our endeavour, our lives long aim, to compile a history of the majesty of the human race from the archives which are our worship. In his benevolent wisdom, the Emperor has granted me the singular and great honour and pleasure of completing this sacred task in my own lifespan. Through copious notes and periods of cogitation, I have pieced together the history and prehistory of mankind into the greatest antiquities of time. Here, I have revealed my findings for the first time. For as it was in the time of the first keeper, Solomon, our knowledge has passed by oratory and not written word. However, in these changing times, there are none worthy to succeed me now, and so it is fit and rightful that I, the last keeper, Crippius, recounts our great works to these pages for eternity. And so it was that in the first age of man, the Golden Age, there is the Emperor, unseen and unheralded. He prepares the old earth for the coming of mankind, and he watches and he waits. He is joined by the first men of the Golden Age, fine of limb and strong of mind, yet still the Emperor is content to wait in shadow, to watch and learn from mankind. The Golden Race spreads across the face of old earth, multiplying and establishing order and civilization on the anarchy of nature. In time, the second men of the Stone Race appear, and in their wake come many miracles and marvels of technology that strengthen the Stone Men's power, but are also harnessed by those of the Golden Race. Although physically inferior to the Golden Race, and not of philosophical temperament and disposition, the Stone Men have in them the conjurations of great artifice and mechanisms. In time, the Golden Race looks to the stars to expand their dominion. The Stone Race builds great machines of power that send both men of stone and men of gold into the ether. However, once the burgeoning race of mankind has taken its first steps into the greater cosmos, the Golden Race dwindles in influence through their dependence on the artifices of the Stone Race. Thus, the Golden Age comes to an end and the Stone Men prevail. Our calculations, from the most distant and archaic records and through constellar comparison, have dated the end of the Golden Age at 20,000 years previous to our present time. For the next 5,000 years, the Stone Race lives through the Dark Age of Technology. Little can be determined from the Dark Age of Technology, for the majority of existing records concerning that period are gathered in the Librarius Omnis of Mars, and none outside the highest ranks of the Adeptus Mechanicus can gain access past its most determined of guardians. Keeper Marabius tried once, but to no avail. We have summarized that during the Dark Age of Technology, the Men of Stone created the Men of Iron to help them in the building of their great empire. At first, the Iron Men are as servants, willing to do the bidding of their masters with no thought. However, the Iron Men, as all creatures do, evolve and grow until they are the equal of the Stone Men, and besides each other they set about conquering the galaxy. The Dark Age of Technology is an era of machines and artificial devices used by the Stone Men and, later, the Iron Men in their endeavours. Many of the technical marvels that the Priesthood of Mars sustain can be traced to their origins in the Dark Age of Technology, and it is at the end of this period that the great organisation known now as the Adeptus Mechanicus was founded. During the Dark Age of Technology, the austere ancestors of the Imperium's Navis Nobilitae are born, and through their unique prowess, mankind forges through the stars. Weapons of great destruction cow the aggressions of alien enemies, pushing back the frontiers of mankind's domain. The end of the Dark Age of Technology is the most obscure region in mankind's evolutionary tale. For whatever reason and differences in ideology, the Stone Men and the Iron Men fall to warring with each other. The Iron Men are possessed of no soul, and anathema to any true man. The Stone Men, in their final acts of self-preservation, annihilate the Iron Men, who have turned from ally to foe, and even those of the Iron Race who retain their former loyalties to their one-time masters are destroyed in the fiery crucible of battle. Still, the Emperor, in his eternal wisdom, awaits the moment to reveal the true path of mankind's destiny. Thus, the start of the Age of Strife is heralded. The Age of Strife sees the collapse of the ancient empire built by the Stone Men. Mankind is split asunder. There is no race of man, just warring factions contending with each other in the direst perils the galaxy could offer. Seeing humanity's weakness, alien dominance grows in power once again. The arms of the Stone Men left to ruin, the protection of the Iron Men destroyed in the last years of the Dark Age of Technology. For 5 long millennia, the human race exists in the twilight of its former greatness, bickering and fighting for the scant resources to hand. With no guiding will, no manifest destiny of lordship, mankind is left in turmoil. Even Earth, the bedrock on which humanity's empire was founded, is gripped in the throes of generation-long internecine war. The foul aliens who had been held back by the might of the Iron Men and Stone Men surge forth from their havens and lairs, destroying mankind's defences, killing or enslaving the Emperor's wards. Mankind is engulfed by a plague of mutation, physical deviance, and many possessed of psychic talents appear throughout the galaxy, bringing more havoc with them. With no overreaching authority, these lost souls and psychers sprawl unchecked across the human race. It is at this time that the Emperor reveals his true nature and sets about his plans of deliverance from anarchy. For the last 10,000 years, we have been in the glorious age of the Imperium, the reign of the beneficent Emperor of Mankind. Using his vast intellect and knowledge of ages past, the Emperor creates a race of warriors to quell the warring factions on Earth, renaming our homeworld Terra and affirming its place as the centre of the known galaxy. Having established rulership of mankind's birth world, the Emperor sets about the recreation of mankind's righteous fate. With his legions of space marines, the Emperor leads the great crusade of reconquest. It is a long and arduous war, but world after world, seeing in the Emperor the rightful ruler of mankind, falls to his service. The Space Marines, now numbered in their many thousands, establish outposts in the far reaches of the galaxy, and from these bases, on asteroids and moons and planets, launch forays into the darkness, bringing the light of the word of the Emperor with them. Through this turmoil, the base treachery of the War Master and sacrifice of the Emperor, the contact with the noble offices of the Priesthood of Mars, the establishment of the Navis Nobilitae, and other noteworthy assemblages that we now take for granted, as well as the purges of mutants and psychers, the Imperium is forged in blood and death. On 1,000,000 worlds, the rightful and just rule of the Emperor is reasserted. And so it is. 10,000 years since the Great Crusade began, we are able to live under the guiding light of the Emperor. We have the guns of the Imperial Navy, Imperial Guard and Adeptus Astartes to guard us against betrayal and foul aliens. But the stories do not end there. For in our research, the keepers of the Library Sanctus of Terra have uncovered many forgotten secrets, hidden lore, tales of treachery and heroism. Although we have not become, by any means, omniscient, we know many things that should not be known. For example, who few outside of the stone chambers have learned of the betrayal of Luther, the curse of the Red Thirst, the dark-shrouded founding of the Sisterhood? Who have recited such tales of woe as can be found in the legacies of Gethelamor, the unseen mysteries concerning the origins of the Space Marine Legions, the dark perils that await those who passed beyond the gates of Vaal, the names of the sinister architects of the Imgar monolith? Read on, for those who follow must be made aware of these dark truths, of the quiescent perils. And the record runs out there. It appears he was declared heretic and adjudged guilty in the presence of his peers in 994, so around a year after the publication of this work. Unfortunately, as I say, we only have the first page of this manuscript, and I will endeavour to source the whole original at some point, if possible, although I imagine that will be quite difficult. The document does raise some interesting questions, and through my inquiries, it has been difficult to find records of any of the names mentioned at the start of the document, or of this keeper himself. But my endeavours continue. As ever, I remain your most loyal and trustworthy servant, Inquisitor A.B. Prince.